As brilliant and creative as he is nothing compared to this guy.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Compared to this woman, it's me, Brandi Cruz. In for my friend, Dory Monson. Welcome to The Big Show and welcome to The Big Lead this hour. Aaron, I think it's interesting. Tacoma, is that official? Ban on camping?
As of today, within a 10-block radius.
A lot of cities starting to do that. But look, that is common sense. You've got a homeless shelter. If you have space for someone in a homeless shelter, why allow them to sleep out on the sidewalks? I know that you're not going to opine on this, Aaron, because you are a newsman after all.
I try.
But you're seeing cities of all different political stripes, red cities, blue cities, start to do this because they realize, hey, we have the space for these folks. We need to intensify outreach, et cetera. What was the breakdown of that vote? Does it say?
I don't have the. I'd have to look into that.
I just, figured I'd quiz you on it.
Sorry.
You don't know the breakdown and makeup of every city council vote?
I could find that
out
for you. I'll get back to
you. Deeply disappointed. All right, you're dismissed.
Yeah, 2 weeks, by the way. So the ban does take effect today, but 2 week notices as of today. So
but
no one's going to be kicked out of a shelter today or tomorrow. But
well, they're not going to be kicked out of the street.
On the
sidewalk.
Off the street, thank you.
Correct, yes. Well, hopefully they get into shelter and they figure that out. Aaron, thank you so much. Let's get right to The Big Lead this hour.
Your read on The Big Lead.
Got some texts coming in to the text line. A lot of folks, we played at 1:30 a chunk of an interview I did today with Julie Anderson, who was the nonpartisan candidate for Secretary of State. She lost to Democrat Steve Hobbs. And let me be clear, because I a lot of these comments are in the same vein. I don't agree with Julie Anderson a lot politically. One of the things we talked about today is, yes, she has progressive values. And I heard from Republicans during the race that, oh, Julie Anderson is saying she's nonpartisan, but she's further to the left than Hobbs. I actually agree with that. But I made it very clear that I voted for Julie Anderson and I supported her campaign because it's nothing against Steve Hobbs. Steve Hobbs is a pretty moderate Democrat. That's why Inslee wanted him out of the Senate and plucked him out and made him the Secretary of State, because Steve Hobbs was going to play obstructionist to some of the things that Inslee wanted to push through. So absolutely, this isn't a commentary on Steve Hobbs, but I like the fact that Julie Anderson wanted to run outside the two-party system. I have a lot of respect for someone who tries to do that and tries to break through a political duopoly that I don't think is particularly good for the people of this state or for the people of this country. And so, yes, do I have fundamental policy disagreements with Julie Anderson? Of course. But I admire what she was trying to accomplish. And I also thought, Democrats are trying to give the seat to a guy who's never run an election before. So just on the merits, I mean, Julie Anderson has had a lot of bipartisan support in Pierce County. That's not some raging blue county for a long time. So I supported the woman. And I encourage you to go listen to our full interview when it's up this evening on the Undivided podcast. But texts in this regard. Jason in Mukilteo. Hello, Jason. Brandi, Julie is just as much at fault for losing as Brad Klippert. She could have picked a party. A lot of Republican voters are leery of voting for independents, especially in this state. Right. But if she picked a party, I think she'd be being disingenuous. And Julie Anderson is really of the belief, and one of the things she says she's going to fight for moving forward is to make the Secretary of State race nonpartisan so that there aren't political affiliations for that race listed on the ballot. And she also doesn't think that the person who runs the elections should be in the pocket of one of the political parties. And I tend to agree with her on that. I don't know if she's just as much as fault for losing as Brad Klippert. And one other thing I want to mention that we talk about in the interview, again, on the Undivided podcast, she has no ill will towards people who wrote Brad Klippert's name in. I talked to her about that at length, and I said, aren't you a little annoyed that Rep. Brad Klippert ran this writing campaign that he couldn't win, and he stole, 100,000 votes potentially from you? She said, no. She said, that's what's beautiful about our democracy. She said, those were protest votes. And people have a right to do that. And so I really found that it solidified just how much I like Julie Anderson and that she has no ill will. If you're a Republican listening who wrote in Brad Klippert, Julie Anderson does not blame any of this on you. She doesn't have any ill feelings towards you. She thinks you have every right in the world to have a protest vote and to vote for someone, even if you got to write it in, who you believe in. And so I think that's really important. 206 says, I didn't vote for Anderson because she went to Evergreen State College. Did she? She did. Yeah, I mean, the woman is a progressive. She has progressive values, and she doesn't hide that. She just doesn't think that this should be a partisan race. Evergreen State College, does that still exist? Oh,
yes,
my
barely,
gosh.
Yes.
Gosh, where all the anarchists go to train. I don't think Julie Anderson is an anarchist. 509, active Republican here. I voted for Hobbs because he's less progressive than Anderson. I'm totally against ranked choice voting. You think people are confused now? Add that in. Yeah. So I agree. Hobbs is more moderate than Julie Anderson. And she does support ranked choice voting, which I think Seattle voters are coming really, really close to passing that in Seattle elections. I agree. So in this interview I did with her today, I have no problem admitting when I don't understand something. And ranked choice voting is something I really just don't fully understand yet. So we're having this conversation. I felt like a moron. Where I was just like, explain it to me. I'm up in the air on ranked choice voting. I think it could help kind of break apart the political duopoly. But I do agree that it can be confusing. People who support it are like, no, it's not. And I'm like, I feel like I'm pretty intelligent, pretty politically inclined, and I am slightly
confused.
Seems like
a little bit of a mess in Alaska right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I had Andrew Yang on my podcast the other day. He ran for president as a Democrat, and he supported ranked choice voting. It was a big part of his platform, and now he's moved on to try to start a party built on consensus called the Forward Party. And he tried to explain ranked choice voting to me. He's like, Brandy, my 5-year-old understands it. And I'm like, I don't. So I'm going to have, I got to have somebody just sit down and explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. All right. 206, Brandy. I'm just cold reading these, which, you know, wish me luck. Would you mind explaining your assertion that Trump Republicans underperformed? Per mainstream media Market Watch, when it comes to general election candidates endorsed by Trump, the former president's win rate is relatively high, at least 68% on the Senate side with 4 races yet to be decided, at least 87% on the House side with 12 outstanding races. That's 141 of the 162 endorsed candidates that had been deemed election winners by AP as of Wednesday afternoon. I think you're helping defeat a false narrative that Trump is to blame for election losses when in reality the opposite is true. P.S. I truly respect your voice of reason on the vast majority of issues affecting our region. Yeah, and I do think you make a good point. I mean, Trump does have, and it was even higher after the primary, he does have a very high success rate of people who he endorsed winning. That being said, Tuesday should have been much better for Republicans. We all agree that. We all agree on that, right? Tuesday should have been much better for Republicans. And so while some of his people performed well, they certainly didn't perform up to the expectations that folks had. Every single metric that we would typically use to figure out how a party is going to do. One, generally speaking, the party out of power does well. We have a terrible economy, awful crime rates, gas prices, inflation, everything should have contributed to an absolute red tsunami, and it didn't happen. And as an example of one of the reasons I say that I do think we underestimate the kind of exhaustion, the Trump exhaustion. So keep this in mind, Ian, and I'm not talking about the deep red states. I'm talking about in states like Washington, where you're looking at the movable middle. You know, you're always going to have a segment that's going to vote Republican, always going to have a segment that's going to vote Democrat. What you target is the movable middle. And I think in a state like Washington, the movable middle tends to be obviously moderate and is tired of Donald Trump. And the 3rd congressional district is a race that I use to set that example. So Joe Kent was a Trump-backed Republican. Trump campaigned for him, etc. And Joe Kent lost the 3rd congressional district, which should have been an easy win. Tiffany Smiley won the 3rd congressional district. So try to explain to me how a candidate like Tiffany Smiley, who wasn't endorsed by Donald Trump, could win the same congressional district she won in that voting area that Joe Kent lost. And you look also at Pennsylvania. So in the big races that really mattered, where Trump came out aggressively on behalf of candidates, the Pennsylvania Senate race, Mehmet Oz lost. And then in Georgia, Herschel Walker could not get more than 50%. And those were races that Donald Trump spent a lot of time on. And I think that that's significant. And then look at how Ron DeSantis did, despite the fact that Trump was attacking him pre-election. Ron DeSantis did exceptionally well. And you also had the Democratic Congressional Committee, campaign committee, that bolstered the candidates of quote-unquote election deniers who were backed by Trump because they thought they'd be easier to beat in the general election, and they were. They all lost. I kind of wish a couple of them had won just so Democrats had to live with their little trick they tried to play, but that's not the case. So I agree, yes, 206, and I appreciate the message filled with information. I agree that he does still have an impressive record of people he endorses winning, but I think it is getting less impressive. And certainly Tuesday was not a wonderful showing. Just my opinion. Let's see. Let's keep moving on. Speaking of elections, let's move on in the big lead.
The big lead. Top trending.
Let's talk about Joe Kent and the race for the 3rd Congressional District. He has not conceded yet. So I was just looking at, I want to get the up-to-date results in the 3rd. Marie Perez, the Democrat, has 50.47% of the vote. Joe Kent has 48.96% of the vote. They're separated by about 5,000 votes, a little under 5,000 votes. So Joe Kent, over the last couple days, has been encouraging voters to cure their ballots. And I think this is something every voter should do. Mm-hmm. Curing your ballot simply means that you double check to make sure that it was counted. And if it's not, that you take steps to correct whatever error prevented it from being counted. Let's say it's like a signature issue or something that stopped it from being counted. So you can go to, I think it's, gosh, is it I'm going to do this in real time. VoteWA.wa.gov. Sorry, I want you all to cure your ballot. So I'm just real time.
I think it's voter.votewa.gov.
Voter.votewa.gov. Yes. So if you go there, it asks you for three simple things, your first name, your last name, and your date of birth. And just to give you
an example. It's actually scary how much information you can get from just those first, last, and DOB.
That is true. And that's how people look up whether celebrities have voted. Yes. Is they're like, oh, well, their birthday.
Everybody knows their birthday.
So you'll find out that I have indeed voted. So you go to this page and you click on ballot status on the left-hand side. And I can see that my ballot was accepted. Now, if it's not accepted and there's an issue, you can take steps to rectify that. So Joe Kent was basically saying, look, this is close enough where you need to make sure to go and cure your ballot. And I don't think that that's a controversial sentiment. Everybody should want to make sure that their ballots count in this election. But again, Joe Kent, despite this race being called by the media, has not conceded.
Everybody in Washington's 3rd Congressional District. This race is not over. There are still about 30% of the ballots that need to be counted. There is over 7,000 ballots in Clark County alone, several thousand in the other counties that need to be cured. That means that you submitted your ballot, but for whatever reason, usually a signature match issue, it's been rejected. So it hasn't been counted by your county. So you need to go down to your county auditor's office and fix that. Check all the links below to check your ballot status. Your ballot status needs to say accepted. That means it's actually been counted or it's going to be counted. If you need help with ballot curing, email me, joe@joekentforcongress.com. We will get a curing team to your front door or we'll get you a ride down to your county auditor's office. My opponent is only ahead right now by about 4,600 votes. Again, we still have about 12,000 votes to count. 7,000 alone in Clark County need to be cured and about another couple thousand. So somewhere close to 18,000 votes remain to be had out there in the district. So this is far from over. We won't concede until every single legal vote is counted. Thank you very much. Stay in the fight. God bless.
And look, that's fine. You know, it's close enough where it doesn't bother me if he wants to go around and run around and send campaign people to cure ballots. I think what bothers me is when it's like Lauren Culp, who lost by like half a million votes. He's like, I will not concede. It's like, okay, well, what are you waiting for, dude? But keep in mind, you know, when the media calls a race, it's not like, oh, it's stamped and now that's official. The media calls it based on what they believe is the statistical improbability or impossibility that a candidate can catch up. And so that's why they call the race. But that isn't some sort of formal declaration. I don't think Joe can catch up, for the record. I do believe that Marie Perez will be the next congresswoman from Washington's 3rd Congressional District, a district that probably would have stayed red had Jamie Herrera Butler been able to make it past the primary and past a pro-Trump challenge. But this is the way that voters went. And now Republicans only hold 2 congressional district seats in Washington, the 4th and the 5th, Dan Newhouse and Kathy McMorris Rodgers. And they hold, obviously, no Senate seats. A couple other races I want to check in on quickly that I got to be honest, I'm kind of bummed about. I typically don't give endorsements or anything like that, but there's a couple that to me were just so obvious and glaring that I'm like, come on. So one is the 10th Legislative District, the race Dory tried and tried and tried to get Tina Podlodowski to answer a question on, and then she hung up on him. So Clyde Shavers, the liar, the guy who lied about serving aboard a nuclear submarine, you know, embellished his military record, said he was an attorney when he hasn't passed the bar exam, he is ahead by just over 20 votes. I didn't want to do the math. 29. 29 votes right now.
Isn't it sad? I just am still a little frustrated that that news came out so close to Election Day when everybody had, a lot of people had already submitted their ballots.
Yeah, and he
however, do I think it would have changed? Probably not, because nobody that votes Democrat is going to be like, okay, I'm not going to vote for the D anymore.
I think some people might have left him off, especially in a military community. I mean, this is someone who served in the Navy and lied about his naval service next to a nuclear submarine base. You know, it's
maybe like, 20 people for sure.
Right. Yes. Yeah, 29 people. And the other thing, and so Greg Gilday is the Republican incumbent, and he has been trending better. So that news that Clyde Shavers, when his lies were exposed, came out about at the halfway point from when people got their ballots to Election Day. So it's no surprise to me that Greg Gilday is doing better in late ballot counts. But whether he can overcome it, there are still, I checked, the counties that are involved in this district, there are still several thousand ballots left to count. So it is a possibility. And I've been in touch with his campaign, and they're sort of waiting to see what happens. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try some sort of legal maneuver to challenge the results of the election based on dishonesty. If they can find, for example, 29 voters who say, I voted for Clyde Shavers because of this, and that was materially dishonest, you could have a new election. It's very, very hard to do, but it is possible. One other one I want to touch on quick. Man, so you guys will remember that Doug Erickson, the former state senator for Whatcom County up in the 42nd, died after a battle with COVID. And Simon Sefcik was the young Republican who was appointed to replace him, a 22-year-old Republican, youngest state senator in history. And if you've ever, have you guys had him on the show?
No, I don't think
oh,
we
you
did.
Should. We he should. Is... I'm so impressed by him. I mean, I feel like I was a smart 22-year-old, but he is incredibly intelligent. I heard someone the other day call him just a generational talent. I believe that's true. And so he, of course, was appointed to the seat, but then is running to actually, you know, get officially elected to the seat. And he's losing right now by about 1,000 votes to Democrat Sharon Shoemake, who was in the House but wants to be in the Senate. And there's still some votes to count there, but it bums me out. It's really nothing against Sharon. I don't know her. But I'm so impressed by Simon. And to have a voice from someone that young, who's that knowledgeable on the issues, can bring a new perspective into Olympia. I hope that if he loses, he finds another way to serve people. He's 22. I'm sure right. he'll be the governor someday. It would not surprise me.
That was a close race last time Erickson won. He barely won. Yeah. Do you remember? I can't remember how many votes, but it was very slim. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate that he's losing just because I think that would have been a good transition.
Yeah. But I don't think it'll be, if he does in fact lose, the last you'll hear of Simon Sefcik.
Good.
All right, that has been your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up, King County says no to holiday decorations. That and more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Brandi Cruz filling in.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cruise in for Dory Monson on this Monday, chilly Monday. It was cold out this morning. I had to defrost my windows and everything. I complained a lot when it was hot, but I'm fickle.
I'd much rather be warm right now.
The one thing I am grateful for in my car I got a couple years ago is the heated steering wheel.
Yeah.
If you don't have, I'm sure it's like standard on every car now, but back when I got my car, I was like, wow. This is sealing the deal for me. Oh, so nice. First of all, You watched Yellowstone last night.
I did.
I don't want any spoilers from you, Nicole.
Okay.
I was in Kitsap County last night doing a radio show appearance, and I didn't get to watch it, and my fiancé was working, and we're going to watch it together, and I don't want to hear one word peep on the text line about how many people Rip killed in the first episode of Yellowstone. I'm sure the number was high. But I was reminded of Yellowstone. You know, I think it has really re-romanticized the West. You know,
for
although
sure.
It's very gruesome and grotesque.
Definitely brought back Westerns.
You know, as you know, Nicole, I recently got some property out in the middle of nowhere for a future maybe retirement area. It's really truly in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's no electricity on it or anything. But I also got a cowboy hat because I thought, I need to look the part.
You really did. You bought the property and was like, I gotta have a hat.
Yes. But it was reminding me, I just saw this article out of the Los Angeles Times. California, the title is California on its way to banning rodeos? Behind the growing movement to buck the event. And yes, Andrew, we can keep Yellowstone in the background. I like it. It's nice. So, look. I met, as you know, because you were there, Nicole, mm-hmm. when I met my fiancé. I met him at the Ellensburg Rodeo.
Yes.
I, along with you and some other friends, I'd been going to the dang rodeo for years trying to meet a good man. I'm from the Midwest. I thought, well, none of these Seattleites, Seattle men are going to do the trick for me. So let's go out to the rodeo and meet some real cowboys.
And it worked.
Well, for 8 years it didn't. On the eighth year was the success, and I found a good one. But 1 year we went, and our mutual friend, Jessamyn McIntyre, who used to be over at on the sports side, she came with, and, you know, we're going to the rodeo. So we go to Behind the Chutes, which is a bar, you know, and mm-hmm. We have some drinks, and then we have tickets to the rodeo, so we go to sit down. Well, apparently Jessamyn didn't realize we were going to a real rodeo, where they were going to be riding
bulls.
She didn't
know what a rodeo included, I guess.
So Jessamyn was mm-hmm. mortified. Absolutely mortified by the bull riding, by the roping, and did not want to be there. She's like, I don't want to be here.
Don't want to watch it.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the issue down in California. So in Alameda County, they have officially banned the practice of what's called wild cow milking. I'm going to read the first two graphs of this Los Angeles Times article because they were very descriptive. And it says, earlier this fall, Alameda County supervisors officially banned the practice of wild cow milking, a timed event in which a lactating beef cow, unused to human handling, has been wrangled from the fields and brought to an arena. There, she is separated from her calf, tossed into a rodeo ring, and attacked by three or four men who rope her, pull her tail, wrestle her to the ground, and try to hold on to her while one of them grabs her teats and milks her. Los Angeles Times article. So that was very colorful writing from Susanna Rust with the Los Angeles Times.
The picture that goes with this article, too, and that is an example of, you know, dramatizing the event. And the picture that goes with the article I'm looking at, the version of the article, is mutton busting, which is when little kids ride sheep and they fall off, whatever. Well, the picture that they use is a little girl with her neck around a sheep looking like she's slamming the sheep to the ground in WWE or whatever, which is not necessarily what happens. Normally the kids just fall off and the sheep run. But
well, so this same county banned mutton busting 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is the latest thing they've banned is this wild milk, cow milk. And I'll read again this LA Times description of mutton busting. An event in which small children are placed on the backs of scared, unsaddled sheep and try to stay on while the sheep's buck, kick, and jump to knock the child off. It's animal abuse, said Eric Mills, coordinator for Oakland's Action for Animals. And look, I'm torn on this because rodeoing is a huge cultural thing in America. And a lot of what they do are things that they do if they work on farms or ranches. These are things like, you know, you try to tie a cow down or whatever, right, mm-hmm. that you have to do out in the field. And so this is sort of them turning that into a sport and into a competition. I suppose I don't think the animals particularly enjoy it.
Sure.
And so in that sense, I know there's going to be people mad. I guess I don't see the point of it besides sort of having it be this cultural phenomenon.
Right. To me, I think bull riding is on a different level because I don't think the bulls are being harmed. I think that, you know, they just want their, I mean, contrary to what some believe, I don't believe they're pulling on the testicles or whatever.
Like, you know, so they buck harder and they get more points and stuff.
Right. But I think that, I guess you have to kind of go into it accepting that there is this circle of life, and if you are a meat eater and you kind of accept that, that, you know, there wouldn't be cattle if we didn't have ranches for cattle, because they would be killed by the predators.
Right, but I think the argument is here, you can still eat cattle without throwing them into a ring. I agree.
I agree. There are some that if it's been deemed that it can hurt the animal, I understand the hesitation there. It's hard for me to watch the roping and stuff. I like the barrel racing. I like the bull riding. I like, I'm trying to think of some of the other events that I can handle.
I like the little funny clown.
But the getting them by the neck, bull doing their legs, like it does break my heart every time. But the mutton busting, like they're little kids. You're not supposed to be, you know, 50 pounds riding a sheep. It's supposed to be a baby.
Well, I guess this is just the latest thing that's going to be canceled. I'm not saying there's not some merit to the argument that I feel bad for the animals. But also,
totally
I think there are some
it.
Events in the rodeo that are just fine.
Yes.
But again, this LA Times article, I don't know if I've ever
dramatic.
Seen so dramatic. It says, because it talks about how some people think it's, you know, for
and
people
I have
who admire
this milking
a Western lifestyle. I've seen it. She goes, but for others, the rodeo is a horror show in which terrified animals are chased around an arena, kicked by strangers, tossed onto the ground with potentially bone-crushing impact.
I've never seen a bone crushed.
If not hundreds of people yell, scream, and clap from the nearby stands. I've never seen, and I've never seen animals being kicked by strangers. So anyway, one other story. We can kill the Yellowstone music, I guess, but it's really getting me amped up.
Really
Thank
quick.
You, Andrew.
Nobody loves animals more than the farmers and the ranchers.
Of course. Yes. And yes, so it's a tough one. I'm sure we'll get some texts in. 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-CHIRO. King County, war on Christmas. Apparently making the, you know, expanding the war on Christmas. Jason Rance, at 770KTTH had this article on MyNorthwest.com that King County has said that you are not allowed to decorate your workspaces with overtly Christmas or Hanukkah decorations because they don't want to offend other employees. And as Jason Rance noted, and he's done many stories about how you can have pride flags up, you can have Black Lives Matter flags up, you can have them up year-round. And I don't know who's offended these days by a pride flag, but you can't display your holiday spirit.
Right. I feel like we're in a time period where people are encouraging celebration of culture. So why is that not just culture? That is your culture. That's part of your belief. That's your culture. And you're bringing it into your workspace. It's not putting it on other people.
Right. So Jason quotes this. Apparently, this was sent out by the Workforce Equity Manager, which that's a job title now. She sent out a guidelines for holiday decorations for King County employees, and they made it clear to say the county remains committed to honoring the diversity in its workforce and is fortunate to have employees from so many diverse backgrounds. Okay, well, if that's the case, why would you not allow them to have Christmas decorations or Hanukkah decorations? It seems an awful lot like you're committed to honoring diversity in certain aspects. Mm-hmm. And again, you get into that slippery slope. All right. Oh, this show goes by so fast. We are already going to awesome audio. Okay. Coming up, as the Dory Monson Show rolls on for another segment, awesome audio clips of the day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Always an honor to fill in for my friend Dory Monson, who also happens to be one of my favorite radio hosts. You know it's going to get back to him that I said one of. He's not going to be happy about that.
What'd you say?
I said Dory's one of my favorite radio hosts.
Oh.
Well, if Nicole didn't hear it, then you're probably safe.
Oh, don't tell him.
Okay. Yeah, I guarantee he's not listening right now.
I don't
want
to pick favorites. Okay.
You're good.
Should we get to awesome audio clips of the day?
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Jeff Bezos, Amazon founder, as he's talking about how he's going to give away his fortune before he dies, reminded the rest of us peons that we really ought to be saving our money.
To be in one very soon. So my advice to people, whether they're small business owners or, you know, is take some risk off the table. If you were going to make a purchase, maybe slow down that purchase a little bit. Keep some dry powder on hand. And wait a bit and see how. Try to reduce some risk in your business or your life.
Well, you tweeted batten down the hatches. Mm-hmm. That's what you mean by
That's what I mean. Well, if you're an individual and you're thinking about buying a new, you know, large screen TV, maybe slow that down. Keep that cash. See what happens. Same thing with a refrigerator or a new car or whatever. Just take some risk off the table. If you're a small business, maybe delay some capital purchases. Do you really need that new piece of equipment? Maybe it can wait a little bit. Have some cash on hand. Just a little bit of risk reduction could make the difference for that small business if we do get into even more serious economic problems. So you got to play the probabilities a little bit. You just have to try and be reasonable about it. Take as much risk off the table as you can for yourself. You know, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Not bad advice from Jeff Bezos. All right, this one just blows me away. I'm waiting for Ron DeSantis to drop the lawsuit at any moment. A show on Paramount Plus, which is owned by CBS Viacom, is called The Good Fight. And in it, there was a storyline, again, from a fictional character that implicated a very real man, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, in an allegation of sexual assault.
I have 267 days sodomy-free.
Can we get to the assault?
Yes.
Again, this is a TV show.
Offered my political services to Governor DeSantis. He saw me in my bicycle shorts, worn purely for medical reasons. And he invited me onto his staff. Little did I know what he meant by staff.
Oh, my God.
God, yes, Diane. That's who I prayed to for guidance on this decision, as well as my close friend and mentor Roger Stone, who informed me that a demonic portal has opened up over the Florida state capitol. I didn't believe him, and I took the job. And this is where it gets more, shall we say, ribald. Ron invited me to CPAC so I could work on his speech. And then, and there, he drugged me and forced me into oral sex.
Do you have any witnesses?
No, I have better.
Pulls out a piece of clothing.
I have a stain.
Okay, so again, this is on a TV show called The Good Fight, where a character implicates Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in a sexual assault. Later on in the episode, it turns out that this character is a liar, but you have to wonder if there are grounds here for a lawsuit on the part of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. A lot of TV shows make up storylines. Why would you not use a fake name of a politician who doesn't exist?
It could even be close.
It's bizarre close to me. The only thing I can think of is that we're doing exactly what they wanted, which is for people to go watch The Good Fight and to talk about a show that's probably flailing in the ratings. All right, let's end with this on Awesome Audio Clips of the Day. In Germany, it's the Seahawks crowd, right? Singing Country Roads.
You were going to sing
Country Road. I didn't either.
I know
just,
better.
Spirit came over me.
But this is a pretty cool moment. Nobody left after the game was over and just started
it's good.
Singing. I love it.
I got to get out of here. The John Curley and Cherry Elliker Show coming up next. Brandi Cruz in for our friend, Dory Monson.
Yesterday.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.